Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome once again to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today, and I hope you're doing well. Hope this is not the first time you've heard the show. We've been around for quite a while, and if you have not heard the show before, this is a show that focuses on athletes with a Christian faith, and we've been doing this for a long time and just really believe that it needs to continue, particularly when you read about all the athletes that that you read about in the paper or see on the media, see on the internet, athletes who are struggling with various things. But we know that Jesus is the answer, and we know that Jesus is not only the answer for athletes, but he's the answer for everyone else. And we have with us today a guy who played for the Indianapolis Colts, Joe Wrights. Joe Wrights was a offensive tackle, played for the Colts in the NFL. He also played for the Baltimore Ravens, and he had a brief, very brief stint with the Miami Dolphins. In fact, it lasted 3 days. But for most of his time, he played with the Indianapolis Colts, played with the Colts back at a time when the Colts had some success under Tony Dungy. And one of the things about Joe Wrights is the fact that he did not play football in college. He played basketball, went to the Western Michigan University, and was one of their top basketball players. In fact, he's the third leading rebounder of all time for the Western Michigan Broncos, and then decided that he would get into football and could make the transition and had a nice career as an offensive lineman for the Indianapolis Colts. So Wood did this interview a couple of years ago, but his testimony has not changed. Joe is retired now. He's not playing for the Colts, but he still has a strong ministry in the Indianapolis area, and we thought you'd like to hear his story. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear the interview that we did with Joe Wrights, formerly of the Indianapolis Colts. We'll take a break and be back. You are listening to Face to Face. All right, thank you, and welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you're doing well, and we're talking football here today, talking with a guy who had a nice career in the NFL, Joe Wrights, offensive lineman. He was in the NFL for 9 years, seven of those with the Colts, two with the Ravens, and a brief stop with the Miami Dolphins. Joe, first of all, thanks for being on Face to Face.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom.
Let's talk a little bit about the fact that you got into football. You were signed as an undrafted free agent out of Western Michigan in 2008 by the Baltimore Ravens. And as I take a look, it looks like they didn't really give you a chance to expand and use your talents.
Yeah, it was an interesting time in Baltimore because I was coming from college basketball, you know, and so I came to Baltimore. They signed me as a free agent, and they had a plan for me. You know, they wanted to develop me into an offensive lineman. Well, when I graduated, I weighed about 250. So they said, you know, start eating, essentially. And I, that first year, put on about 60 pounds and got up to about 310. By my second year in the NFL, I was weighing close to 320. And so I was a developmental guy, obviously not playing college football, and it took me a couple years. And so really that third training camp, so now we're in 2010. I had been on the practice squad for 2 years, and I thought I had a good chance to make the team. Ended up getting released again, and they wanted me to be on the practice squad for a third year. Well, at that time, Miami had they claimed me off waivers, so they had my rights. I tell people the Dolphins liked me so much, they kept me 2 days before they cut me. But I'm a big believer that the good Lord has a plan for everybody, and sometimes it's a lot better than your own plan in your mind. You know, I was sitting there praying every day, hoping I made the team and made the roster in Baltimore, and through Miami, you know, my road and my path led me back to Indianapolis, which is my home, and came here in 2010 after I'd been released twice and was able to stick and play my last 7 years in Indianapolis, and it was such a blessing to do that.
Yeah, you had really an unusual road to get to the NFL. Most guys dedicate everything they've got to football, high school, college. You came on basketball. I mean, you were All-State in football at Fishers High School in Indianapolis, but basketball seemed to be your future. What made you change?
Well, I played both sports growing up, and I'm a big believer you need to play in as many sports as you can as a kid, and I'm living proof of that. You never know what's going to be your best one or what doors are going to be open for you. So I really like football, but I think growing up in Indiana, you know, you grow up, Hoosiers is your favorite movie as a kid. You grow up, you're kind of fed that basketball, 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 and that was my first love, and I was lucky I was able to play that at Western Michigan for 4 years, and then I really got to live out both my dreams. I got to live out my dream of playing college basketball, and I got to live out my dream of playing professional sports. It just happened to be a different one than I played in college.
You actually could have played professional basketball. I think what you were like the third all-time leading scorer at Western Michigan, third in rebounding, tremendous size. Was there an opportunity to play pro ball, pro basketball?
There was an opportunity to play overseas. And so I signed with my agent, Buddy Baker, who's a guy to Indianapolis who is great because he has basketball and football clients, which not a lot of agents do. And so it came down to, do I want to go play in Germany or Poland or Spain and try to pursue a career in professional basketball overseas? You know, I wasn't good enough to play in the NBA. I joke, you know, I played six seven, you know, centers, you know, who don't jump very high. They don't have, there's no market for those guys in the NBA. You know, you're 6'7" in the NBA, you're a two guard or a small forward. So it came down to, I want to try to pursue a career professionally overseas in basketball, or do I want to give this NFL thing a shot? And I looked at myself and I was like, you know what, I have the chance to play at the highest level, to play with the best of the best. I want to give that a chance. I want to see, can I do it? Can I make it? Can I play a year? Can I play 2 years? And, you know, God willing, such a blessing to be able to play the last 9 years.
Do you think it was really God's providence? Could you see God's hand in the fact that you did end up in Indianapolis, or was that something that was kind of prearranged somewhere?
100%, you know, and like I said, you know, I for years, right, 3 years in Baltimore, you know, you pray and you pray every day, Lord, give me a chance. I want to be on the roster, and so you're kind of wondering, and I'm a big believer that God has, three answers to prayer, right? He either says yes, he says not yet, or he says I have something better in mind, and I was the third. I have something better in mind, because instead of being in Baltimore, now I get the chance to be in Indianapolis, where I have a great family, where I have a great network of friends, and I have so many more opportunities, I think, here to serve and to give back and to meet with kids in junior high and high school and talk about the Lord and talk about my faith. And I have such a bigger platform here in Indianapolis, my hometown. That's why I think, you know, the good Lord, you know, it took me a little bit, but he brought me back home to Indy.
2010 was an interesting year for you because of the fact that you were signed by the Colts. The Colts ended up in the Super Bowl. I think you were signed maybe right at the beginning of the season or after the season started, but you didn't have a huge role actually in the Super Bowl itself, but you did certainly have a role with the team. Tell me about that 2010 year.
So actually the Super Bowl, they played in 2010, but it was the 2009 season. I came in the 2010 season. So my first year was the year we were in the playoffs. We actually lost to the Jets. If people remember, in the first round of the playoffs, they came down, kicked a late field goal. So I actually didn't play in any games. I dressed for a few games, but didn't actually step onto the field. But at least I was on, you know, the roster. And so I was excited, you know, because I had a more integral role than being on the practice squad. So my first year starting was actually 2011, which was the year that Peyton unfortunately got hurt, you know, and he was going to miss a game or two. Then it ended up, he was going to miss a few games and ended up being out the whole season with his neck. So that was the 2-14 year that Colts fans will remember, or maybe they'll forget. It was great for me. I got a ton of experience that year. That was my first year starting. And then after that, you know, of course, Coach Caldwell got let go. Bill Polian got let go. And it was a huge transition. And, I was lucky that, you know, Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano, they kept me on board and kept me as a key part of the team. And so my last 5 years, you know, I got to play with Andrew Luck. So I went from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck in my career. It doesn't get any better than that. And it's pretty cool to be able to say that, you know, when Andrew's done playing, I'll be able to have played with both those Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Yeah, and you were very, very versatile. I think you've played every offensive line position except for the fact that you were never a center, I don't think. But you've played all the other offensive line positions. And, of course, to the average football fan, you think if you're a guard, you're a guard. You're a tackle, you're a tackle. But we know there's a difference between right guard and left guard, difference between right guard and left tackle, or right tackle, left tackle. Of all the positions that you have had, first of all, how tough is it to move from position to position? And secondly, which one of those do you like best?
Yeah, and it's harder than people think because they think, oh, you're an offensive lineman, you can just switch sides. But, you know, when you're, especially at the tackle position, your footwork is such that, you know, you're pushing off. If you're a right tackle, you're pushing off your left foot and kicking back, and then you flip over to the left side. You know, I've heard it, you know, people have mentioned it. It's kind of like you're switch hitting in baseball, right? You swing right, and then you go to the other side, and now you're batting lefty. Well, now, you know, some people can do it, and there's some people that are switch hitters, but you got to give a lot of practice to it. It's not like you just roll out of bed, boom, and can switch from the right side to the left side. So I was able to carve out a niche as kind of that guy that could play all four spots and be versatile, and I started all four throughout my career. And so the position early on I was most comfortable at was left guard. I started that my first couple years, but my last few years in the league I played more right tackle. So I would say those two positions, left guard and right tackle, are probably the ones I had the most comfort on the field.
You did some protection for some interesting guys. First of all, at the quarterback position, you had Curtis Painter, Matt Hasselbeck, and, of course, Andrew Luck. When Andrew Luck came on the scene, did you immediately notice the difference?
Yeah, because the very first huddle he was in, you know, that very first mini camp, he gets in there and he's starting to change protections. You know, he's starting to say, well, looks like the safety's coming down here. Why don't we flip the protection and send it that way? And I'm like, whoa, for a rookie to be able to do that day one? I mean, that's, you know, that's the stuff that the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's and Drew Brees, that's the stuff they do that makes them so successful. And for him to be able to come in from day one and be able to do that, I was like, wow, this guy's going to be special.
And you all, pardon me, and you also have opened the holes for what I think is going to end up being one of the great running backs of all time in Frank Gore. It's been the last few years, but he's been able to churn out a lot of yards following you. Tell me a little bit about Frank Gore.
Yeah, he's an unbelievable guy. He's a guy that loves football. I've played with a lot of guys that love football, but nobody loves it more than Frank. He comes every day. He wants to work. He wants to play. You know, a lot of guys are trying to get out of practice. Frank's a guy that wants to practice, and coach might hold him back. He was like, I want to practice. I want to play. And he's a great guy just to pick his brain and to see the things he talks about, the vision, the anticipation, the film study. And that's the thing I learned from all the greats is everybody's got physical talent in the NFL. The guys that really get it done and ascend to the great players, the Hall of Fame players, they're the guys that have the mental aspect of the game, that are watching all the film, that are able to see things before they happen. And so those are the guys that are special, not only physically, but when you're special physically and special mentally, that's when you become one of the greats like Frank is.
Our guest is Joe Wrights. He's been a longtime member of the Indianapolis Colts offensive line, just retired in 2016. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll find out a little bit more about him. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Joe Wrights is our guest, and we appreciate his chance to talk a little bit. And, Joe, as we said before, you didn't play football in college at Western Michigan. You had a great career there in basketball. The transition to go from a basketball career into football, physically, how tough was that for you in that first year after you were, you signed on with the Ravens?
You know, it was very hard. You know, I would go from playing college basketball where I'm one of the biggest, strongest guys. You know, I'm an older guy. And now I'm playing a new sport. You know, I'm undersized. I haven't played it in 4 years, so I have to relearn my technique. And every day in practice, as an offensive lineman on the scout team, you know, we run the opposing team's plays to get the defense ready. I look over at the defense, and you got Terrell Suggs, Haloti Ngata, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Trevor Price, I mean, Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer, and those guys didn't take it easy on me. And so I like to say, you know, I got my behind, you know, kicked in for a couple of years, but it made me better because, you know, going against those guys every day, I had to raise my level of talent, and I was challenged every day, you know, to approach practice. It was like a game for me, and I had to have that mindset and that attitude, and it took me a while, but, you know, that's a big reason why I was able to develop, I think, and carve out a career in the NFL.
Of course, one of the reasons that we do face-to-face, the main reason is the fact that you have something special going for you beyond just football, and that's your relationship with Jesus Christ. Tell me how Jesus Christ fits into your life.
You know, I was born, and I was lucky to born into a family that loved the Lord and always served the Lord. You know, my earliest memories were going to church every Sunday and always being around church. You know, my parents were very active and, you know, serving in committees and groups and just helping people out. And so that's kind of how I grew up, and that's kind of all I knew. And so then I went to college and kept going and met my wife, Jill, and she was a very strong Christian woman. And, you know, we have a great faith journey and a great faith story. You know, she challenged me on my faith. You know, I grew up Catholic. She grew up non-denominational Christian. And so, you know, through each other, you know, it helped my faith, it helped her faith. And she ended up joining, you know, the Catholic Church 5 years ago, which is great because now we're sharing, you know, the same faith. But what I tell people, hey, you know, if you're a Christian, we're all on the same team, right? We all love Jesus. We all serve the Lord, and our relationship with Jesus Christ is what makes us special. And he's always been a rock for me. And I can honestly look back in my life, times that I've been in the Word, times that I've been praying every day, times that my relationship with Jesus has been strong are the times that's been smooth in my life. And then you look back and reflect, you're like, well, that kind of season of my life was a little bit rocky. Well, those were times I wasn't praying every day. Those are times I wasn't going to church every Sunday. Those are times I wasn't in the Word every day. And, you know, now that's my challenge out of football for my family, you know, be the spiritual leader of my household and hopefully raise my kids to know Jesus and to love Jesus like my wife and I do.
And you have taken your faith outside the walls of the church. You've done so many things in Indy that I know you won an award, the Ed Block Courage Award in 2015 with the Colts. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that what you do off the field. You've been involved with the homeless. You've been involved with Special Olympics. You've been involved with Riley Children's Hospital. A lot of various activities that you've been involved with. How does that relate to your faith?
Well, you know, God has blessed me with just unbelievable blessings in my life. You know, when you look at my career, when you look at my family, things that I've been able to do and things that I've been able to accomplish, you know, it's not coming from me, right? I had to work hard, but, you know, there was something, a higher power that blessed me and opened all those doors for me. And so I believe it's my job to give back and give back to the community and to help people that might not have those opportunities. You know, I was part of a Bible study a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about, you can sum up all of Scripture in three words, Old Testament, New Testament, the three words, God is love. And that love that God fills us up with, that unconditional love, you know, I think it's my challenge and it's my charge to go out there and try to spread that to as many people as I can, because I think there's a lot of people out there that are hurting, that are broken, and they need to feel love. They need to feel that unconditional love that God gives us. And so, you know, it's how can I help other people to hopefully open those doors, to maybe start a relationship with Jesus, to maybe deepen their relationship with Jesus, and just, you know, continuing to give like the good Lord has given to me.
Joe writes, let's pick on one of those examples, one that I think always comes in. A lot of football players, not a lot, but a number of football players have been involved with, and that's the homeless. How do you get yourself involved with the homeless? What do you do?
You know, I got connected with a group called the Horizon House in downtown Indianapolis, and they host a big fundraiser at the Colts facility every year. And so someone from the Colts reached out, would you mind hosting this fundraiser? And I said, sure. And I didn't know a lot about it. And my wife and I went down, met with the Horizon House and saw everything that they did. And they're different, and they're not necessarily just a homeless shelter where they're given food and shelter. They're a day shelter as well. So they're giving people job training. They're giving people, you know, training how to interview. They're giving people medical care, they're giving people dental care, they're giving people free legal help. So they're not only helping put clothes on people's back and give them food, which everybody needs, and those are basic needs that everybody deserves to have, they're also preparing them for life, helping them getting back on their feet so they can sustain themselves, so they can go out on their own and be successful, and that they in turn, you know, can help to change lives as well. So it's a great place and something my wife and I have been involved with for the last 5 years or so.
It's also true, just in this interview, I can see you have a talent for speaking, and I've seen the motivational speech that you've done. I saw your speech on video that you did with the Guerin Catholic football team, and it seems like football chapels are a real ministry for you. It seems like you really have a special gift of relating to players about how much it means to know Jesus Christ. Tell me a little bit about your ministry with football teams and your motivational speaking.
Yeah, and I think it's natural for me because I know what these guys are going through, and I can say, hey, I've been in your seat. I've been a high school player. I know what it's like. I know that the challenges you face as a high school male and the challenges you face in a locker room, because the locker room would tell you, you know, to be a man, you have to live your life this certain way. You know, that's what society is telling you. That's what the locker rooms tell you. Jesus tells us we need to live our life in a totally different way. And so how do we impart that message to high school kids? And, you know, I'm still relatively young. I'm 31. So I tell the guys, I can remember what it's like. I can remember what it's like to be in that and the challenges and the struggle. But, and I also think I can and try to relate it to football and say, you know, if you're going to be a great football player, you're in high school, you want to go play college football, what do you have to do? You have to practice. You have to lift weights. You have to run. You have to practice for 2, 3, 4 hours a day. Well, if we're not practicing our faith, how are we ever going to grow in it, right? If we're not saying, you know, if we're not praying to God, at least in the morning, thanking Him for the day, and at least at night, thanking Him for the day, if we're not, you know, going to church on Sunday at least once a week, if you're not doing other things and not practicing, you're not going to grow your faith at all. And then I think the other thing I like to challenge them on is that, you know, hey, the devil's real, right? And the struggle between good and evil and Jesus and the devil is real. And we need to fight. We need to put on our pads. We need to put on our spiritual armor. You know, we need to put, you know, which is the scripture, right? And the word of God, we need to have that. And, you know, I forget what the quote is in the Bible, but it talks about, you know, the spiritual armor and the sword, you know, and the sword of the spirit. But we need to have all that. We need to have our full armor of God put on us so that we can go out into this world, right, the secular world, and fight for the name of God and fight for Jesus and fight for what's right.
2015, as we said, you won the Ed Block Courage Award. Tell me about that.
It was very cool. It was very humbling. You know, the Ed Block Courage Award is voted on by your peers and voted on for courage, you know, not only on the field and coming back from injuries, but also your service to the community. And then you get to go to a big banquet in Baltimore, which was really cool for me because it came full circle. I hadn't been to Baltimore in 5 years since I got released. And my wife and I flew out there for a banquet and got to see a lot of familiar faces and see the city. And it was really, like I said, a full circle moment for me, something that was very humbling and something that was very special for me to be able to win that award. Because, you know, it's one thing to have success on the field and you want to have that and you want to win games and be a good player. But when you have the success off the field and you're recognized for things that you're doing that are hopefully making a difference outside of the white lines, I think that's what's really important. And at the end of the day, that's what really matters.
Our time is just about up. Ed, Joe Wrights is our guest. He's a former offensive lineman with the Indianapolis Colts. And also, he spent some time with the Baltimore Ravens. Joe, I wonder, I know that you know a lot about the Bible. Do you have a favorite verse that kind of sticks in your mind? Tell me about that.
Yeah, my favorite verse would be Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. You know, and it talks about, you know, do not be anxious or worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, you know, give your thanks to God. And then it talks about, you know, and the peace of Jesus Christ, which exceeds all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. And I love that verse because there's times in life when it's hard. There's times when you don't know what to do. There's times when you're like, I don't know how I can get through this. You know, and all that anxiety, all that worry, you know, it's what's the phrase, you know, let go and let God. God wants us to give that up to Him. And so I would read that phrase before every game. You know, we'd come in after warm-ups. I would go to my Bible on my iPad and pull it up and read that phrase. And I'd always get such a calming, you know, sense. I'd always get kind of a calming sense from the Spirit. And that's the peace from Jesus. You know, that's the peace we can't give ourselves, no matter how much we want to. You know, but people know when you have true peace, when you just kind of ever let everything go to God, there's such a great, such a warmth, such an inner peace that comes into your heart through the Holy Spirit. And so that's my favorite verse. And that's something that, you know, whenever I've gone through a tough time in my life, you know, sometimes I'll just sit there and meditate and read that phrase over and over and over again. But that was always my routine. I would come in from warm-ups and I would read that before every game. And it kind of centered me. It said, you know what, we're going to go out there. And whether I play well or whether I play poorly, whether we win, whether we lose, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to play for the glory of God. And at the end of the day, that's what really matters.
Joe Wrights, thanks again for being a part of our show on Face to Face, and good luck to you in the future.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
All right. Joe Wrights, the former lineman for the Indianapolis Colts. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. You know, names and places, faces certainly change, don't they? Particularly when you're a lineman. I take a look. One of the things that I like to do is to take a look at the transactions in the paper, and I see where various linemen have moved on, or various wide receivers, or various defensive people, defensive linemen, defensive backs. And I'll tell you, they come and go so quick, it's hard to keep track of who's who. But it's interesting because they are certainly an integral part of every team. And unlike baseball, where whenever a guy steps to the plate, if you follow baseball at all, or if a guy gets on the mound, you know who he is. Sometimes it's hard to know about these football players, these linemen, and I think it's always good that you hear about them. So I hope you enjoyed our time with Joe Wrights, and certainly did. Great guy, and as we said, still has a strong ministry in various areas. These guys, when they retire at 30 or 35 or whatever it is, they've still got a lot of living ahead of them, and that's one of the things that Joe is doing right now, is that he announced his retirement in 2017, so he's been gone for a couple of years, and probably still trying to figure out exactly what he wants to do. It takes a little bit of time, but we appreciate the testimony of Joe Wrights. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this show and you want to hear more about face-to-face, you can go to our website. If you are not already there, you can go to our website at facetofaceradio.com, and we hope you'll check it out. We've got a number of things up there, including some articles that I've written, and we also, even though we're at the very tail end of the baseball season, we also have our all-Christian All-Stars, and it won't be up there very much longer. We'll probably pull that down here pretty soon. But take a look and see if there's anybody on that Christian All-Star team that's still playing, because we always get players from different leagues, different teams, but the only thing that matters about each one of those players is that they have a faith in Jesus Christ, a solid faith in Jesus Christ. And we know, again, that there are a lot of athletes out there, a lot of baseball players and football players who have that. You just don't hear about them very much. Well, hey, as we close for you today, I want to take you to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Here's what it says. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And that was Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, talking about the strength that we have within us in the Holy Spirit, and the strength of fellowship that we have in the church, the body of believers, not just the people that are in your particular church building, but the body of believers who surround you, and the body of believers who help you. And we really believe that. We really believe that there's a unique fellowship among Christians, not just Christian athletes, but Christians of all stripes. And we hope that you're involved in a church, and we hope that you have Jesus Christ in your life. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.